and a half, I always add. First, I came down here to talk to the president. After talking to the president, some newspaper men standing outside, and they said, well, the president said this job needs a man with guts. Do you think you qualify? And I said, who has a larger one?
3 months ago, Mike DeSalle was a reasonably successful politician and the popular, unspectacular mayor of Toledo, Ohio, a city of 300,000 on Lake Erie.
I've been in public life long enough to know that last week's crisis is very difficult to remember. Let's forget about it, because these things always happen for the best, and I've always found that. I've never lost an election. I've been defeated several times, but each time something better has developed.
Mike was right. In 1950, he wanted to run for the Senate in Ohio, ran in the Democratic primaries against Joe Ferguson, was badly beaten. Ferguson lost to Taft by 400,000 votes last November. Then, the present emergency arose, and the White House went looking for a price stabilizer. It was a tough job to fill. DeSalle doesn't know and doesn't care if he was the 6th or the 41st asked to take the job.
I've told a lot of people that I have the job because no one else would take it, because evidently no one else wants it.
When Mike left Toledo, the Junior Chamber of Commerce wished him Godspeed and gave him a few appropriate gifts. Here is the speech of presentation.
After seeing what happened to Henderson, Bowles, and Porter, we thought you'd be able to use the following items that we brought with us. First of all, we want to give you a box of approximately 5,000 aspirin tablets. And we can tell you this, we'll get you more in the next couple of weeks if you need them. We also have a catcher's mask, some shin guards, a ball bat, and a chest protector. Now, frankly, Mike, we hope you won't need them. We hope you're going to get along wonderfully well. And believe me, we wish you all the luck in the world.
Mrs. DeSalle stayed in Toledo with the children. And even after reading the political obituaries of other price control directors of other times, she thought that Mike would come out on top.
It is rather ironic that Mike has become the man to whom so many housewives look for the solution of their budget problems, because when he was here at home in Toledo, he never worried about the budget. That was always my job, and it still is. With 5 children to care for, I know it. However, I am quite sure that with his foresight and thorough going into of any problem of great magnitude, he will work out a solution of the price problem satisfactory to all. My only regret is that he wasn't appointed sooner, before prices got so out of hand.
Mike DeSalle has had such a tough time that even the administration's opponents have been kind to him. He has watched the Office of Price Stabilizer, the OPS, grow from a one-room operation with DeSalle and a secretary to a bureau employing over 1,000 in Washington and many more in offices across the country. Mike DeSalle looks back on those first 2 months.
Some people say, well, how do you do it? Well, it's just like the old story about the fellow picked up the calf on the first day. Each day he kept picking it up, and finally it was a full-grown cow, and he was still being able to lift it. He didn't notice it from day to day.
But the weight from day to day has been getting heavier. And although DeSalle says certain commodity prices are beginning to level off, the operation is far from successful. And Mike is constantly in the position of having to face the news conferences with corrections and rollbacks and difficult directives.
Gentlemen, and any of the ladies here?
Yeah.
This regulation is the one that's been so wildly heralded as the replacement to 580, which was the retail markup regulation of the last OPA. That regulation was issued after...
Our Washington correspondent spent an entire day in Mr. DeSalle's office with his tape recorder, listened to some of his visitors and their problems. Among them was Senator O'Mahony. He's interested in DeSalle because he's from Wyoming. He's interested in the controls on wool. Listen.
Mike, I want to tell you that I want to congratulate you on the progress that's being made down here. I watched the organization of OPA at the beginning of World War II, and I know you're very much more advanced in organization matters than they were then. You've heard me talk to you on the telephone about wool. The whole western part of this country is very deeply interested in wool, raw wool, the production of domestic wool. I'm sure that all those western growers of wool will be pleased to know that you understand their problem.
Well, we're tremendously interested in it, Senator, because we were importing two-thirds of our wool. If we could increase our domestic wool production, it would be very helpful to us.
Well, the price, of course, is important. Thank you very much.
And Mark Marcel, one of Mike's staff, who says he just can't understand one of the new directives.
We have a draft.
Here. Yeah, they sent me a draft. I've gone over and I don't recognize it.
You don't?
No.
I think it looks to me like it's tremendously complicated. I'd like to see it simplified.
Now, look, I would like to catch you sometime for about an hour, an hour and a half or so to throw some ideas at you, preferably away from the office and telephone.
Today is just out of the question. We're issuing this retail regulation.
Oh.
And another official who says he wants Mike to make a visit to West Virginia.
I wish to urge you to come to the Greenbrier Hotel weekend of April 6th, 7th, and 8th, at least for one of those days. The University of Chicago has asked you to come. They're going to have a number of the people from Washington who are in the general coordinated economic stabilization effort. And in my view, it would give you a chance to learn something without being under the pressure of preparing something or speaking.
And Governor Williams of the state of Michigan comes to call. He wants an OPS regional office to be located in his state.
Well, Mike, as I pointed out to you in my telegram, we're getting lots of pressure, and I don't want to talk about this in terms of a regional office because titles don't make a bit of difference to us. But the thing that the people in industry there want is a straight line so they don't get all tied up in Cleveland.
And the OPS directors from the territories, Hawaii, the Virgin Islands, and so forth, whom DeSalle takes time to greet personally.
I wanted to tell you, gentlemen, that we didn't want you to feel like distant cousins, that you're just part of the program, and just as an important part of the program as any district director in any state or any city in the United States. This man is from the Virgin Islands. I made arrangements with him this morning to go down there when I have my breakdown.
Lucille works a 17-hour day, takes time only for a sandwich at noon, and usually has his dinner sent in. This short, placid man in the rumpled brown suit, waddling his way through the confusion of hectic, busy Washington, is a welcome, almost comforting relief. Nothing seems to ruffle him. He seems to know that he has to keep his sense of humor to keep his sanity. His humor is one of his principal assets. Mike DeSalle to a visitor who asked him about Washington.
Well, every place that you go, especially back in Ohio, and I say, how do you like Washington? So I've told him that I like it, but I'm sure that the country couldn't afford two Washingtons.
Everybody, from office boy to baker, calls DeSalle Mike. He likes that. Tells the story of the day he spent with another Michael, King Michael of Romania, who thought all the first name calling was intended for him and felt offended.
Well, we were at the Toledo Club, and I was sitting next to King Michael, and he was talking about jeeps. In the meantime, fellows were sitting across the table from me, and they'd say, Mike, this, Mike, that. Every time somebody said Mike, he'd look up kind of startled, you know. His name was Michael, Mike, too. And finally said, oh, they're calling you Mike. And I said, yes, they are. And he kind of shrugged his shoulders, and I said, chances are if the people of Romania would have called you Mike, you might have still been king.
OPS Director DeSalle has a constant demand for secretaries, discusses the cause for the shortage with his staff.
Girls seem to be our problem. Everybody's complaining about the lack of stenographers.
Did you read the article in that Liberty magazine, don't let your daughter come to Washington?
I think my mother would say, don't let your son come to Washington.
DeSalle is an inveterate cigar smoker. They used to be three for a dime, now cost him 8 cents. He talks about the stable price of his cigars.
I don't like to repeat, but they asked me about it up on the hill one day, some of the reporters after, and I said that the price was very stable on these cigars. In fact, a lot of people thought that's where they came from.
It's much too early to tell whether Mike DeSalle will make the grade in the back-breaking task before him. He knows that prices are high, and in some cases still spiraling. He knows from occasional visits back to Toledo that even his fellow townspeople are still skeptical. As one shopper in Toledo, Mrs. Lorraine Brown told us,
price controls? What price controls? You'd never know we had any if you'd paid the prices I just paid. Did Mike DeSalle ever get to Washington?
We wondered what other people in Toledo thought about DeSalle and his mission to Washington. The new mayor, Ollie Zalusta, is certain that his predecessor is in Washington. Has a few things he wants him to keep in mind.
Mike, Toledo needs a veterans hospital today more than ever before. Hold the line on airport construction, Mike. Toledo hopes to build one soon, but we can do so only on last year's prices.
We Americans complain about prices, make jokes about the failure of controls, and approach the problem almost with an air of helplessness. As every responsible statesman or politician has said, inflation can hurt America as much as communism. Against one, we are resolved and courageous. Against the other, slovenly and indifferent. To Mike DeSalle, this is the problem and challenge of his life, as vital to him as the defense of Europe is to Ike.
Most people just forget the fact that we've been in business a short time. A lot of problems in connection with it. We could have started out in the beginning and done a lot of ranting and hollering about what we were going to do and then fall on our faces. I thought if we had a chance or a choice between a short-range public relations program or a long-range economic stability program. And since we're interested in economic stability, we chose long-range and are willing to take the harpoons in the beginning in order to do the job in a sound fashion. I think approaching it soundly and with reason, with logic, that we can eventually achieve stability in prices. After all, that's what we're supposed to do. After I'm finished with this job, I won't be able to be elected dog catcher. In fact, I'll be very happy to retain a majority vote in my own household.
Michael Vincent DeSalle, 215 pounds, 5 feet five and a half. State representative, assistant law director, City of Toledo. Member of City Council, vice mayor, mayor of Toledo. Director of the Office of Price Stabilization, November 30th, 1950, to...
You have just heard Program 12 in the new CBS series, Hear It Now, a document for ear based on the week's news. Hear It Now is edited and produced by Edward R. Murrow and Fred W. Finley, and a CBS staff which includes Jesse Zosmer, John Aaron, Joseph Wershfer, Edmund Scott, and Irving Gitlin. Portions of the program originated at WTOP, Washington, WIBW, Topeka, Kansas, WRDW, Augusta, Georgia, WLAC, Nashville, Tennessee, KOLO, Reno, KOOL, Phoenix, WHAS, Louisville, WEEI, Boston, KCBS, San Francisco, KNX, Los Angeles, the British Broadcasting Corporation, and United Nations Radio. Combat recordings were made in Korea by CBS correspondents George Herman, John Jefferson, and Robert P. Martin. Special acknowledgement is made to Jack White of station WJR, Detroit. Edward R. Murrow can be heard over most of these CBS stations Monday through Friday at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Olin Tice speaking, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
John Harrington, well known to all WBBM listeners, will be on for an hour tomorrow from 8 to 9 on WBBM. Listen to John as he brings you outstanding human interest stories, as well as the latest in recorded music, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on WBBM. Headline, report heavy toll of Reds in Allied advance, details at 10 tonight. This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.